I think you start with acknowledging that per route run, last year, Dalton Kincaid was the most targeted tight end in the NFL. Like, the Bills want to throw him the ball. And he's had two seasons of really good route running metrics in terms of separation rates and two really good seasons of yards after catch metrics. So it really just comes down to, can Josh Allen and Dalton Kincaid develop the chemistry that's necessary to maximize the opportunities that exist for Dalton Kincaid? And I think, of course, Dalton Kincaid needs to be durable and available and be stronger, right? Have the functional strength that the team's kind of called him out now for a couple of years on. That's what needs to happen.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, last week on Dalton Kincaid's importance to the offense. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off this week. It's a beautiful Monday morning. Get to a phone call in a moment here on the importance of this regular season to you. Why it might be important, maybe it is always, or it's because of the final year at the stadium, or, like for me, let's see them finally get that one seed. That they've not done that. They have the best point differential in the league in the last 5 years, and they have the best record other than Kansas City, and yet not once. Tennessee's even done it, but the Bills have not. Real quick, before we get to a phone call on this, that point about Kincaid, this is where I'll be very curious to see, is he blocked by Dawson Knox or not? Because he was, as Joe just mentioned, like yards per route run at the tight end position, like the best in the league, and dealt with injury all year long. His route participation rate, routes run per number of team pass plays. He ran a route last year, Dalton Kincaid did, on 62%. Of the Bills' pass plays. That was 17th in the NFL at his position. So some of that is injury, but not all of it, because the year before, when he played the whole season, he ranked 13th in the league at that number. He should be, if he's going to be a focal point, if he's going to be a 100-target guy, breakout candidate, you're going to want to see him run as many routes as any tight end is in the NFL. Maybe a snap count doesn't have to be through the roof because he won't be blocking all the time, but that's the key. The key is for him to be, as Joe just did mention, more available, more durable, and the Bills can get him out there instead of 62% of the routes, he's out there for 95% of them. Because if he's your best, one of your best weapons, you're going to want him out there at that high a number. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe in Maryland's first up. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Morning.
Yeah, so I just want to talk about, like, them getting the one seed. And, like, you actually brought it up just before you took my call. Like, the goddamn Tennessee Titans under Ryan Tannehill have managed to get the one seed under, like, the Chiefs dynasty. I'm a fire Sean McDermott guy. It's not personal. Like, he's a good coach. He's a great man. But he should have been fired after the 13-second game. That was inexcusable. And the fact that they cannot out-scheme Matt Nagy, it's so aggravating. You know, the Chiefs were like one of the more inept offenses last year, and of course they have to drop their season high to end my season. It's so frustrating. They have to do something. You and Jeremy talked about it last week about, like, is there pressure on the defense? Like, if they don't get it done this year, after, like, the draft they just had, all the guys they signed, if that defense cannot finally show up in the playoffs, like, we kind of talk about doing something here, because we're just doing the same thing over again and expecting something to change. The only way I would give the defense any pass is if it's, like, knock on wood, 2 years ago where everyone and their mother is injured and you have, like, backups playing.
Yep.
So that would be my only excuse for the defense. But they have to get it done this year. Like, they need that week off. They need to play some BS AFC South team like the Texans or maybe the Jags, whoever wins that crap division. And hosting a playoff game against the Chiefs has proven that it did not matter. I still like my odds better, though, if they're at home.
Sure.
Like, even the Ravens game last year, I think if that game is in Baltimore, I don't see us winning. Like I went to, I was at the week four game when they blew us out. So I really think us being the two seed ahead of them won us that game.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. You're nearby Baltimore?
Yeah, I live about 20 minutes outside Baltimore. I'm actually driving home right now from the holiday.
Gotcha. All right, thanks for the call, Joe.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I agree with almost all of that. I do wonder, you know, as he points out, like, if you lose again in the defense after investing all of this, is not going to come through for you, then where do you go from there? It would be a different feeling than each of the last two, even three losses at the end. Joe points out the injury part, and that's true. Because I do think there are built-in excuses for 3 years in a row, them falling. There's an out. There is, last year, the Bills weren't really supposed to go that far. You could say that's dumb because when they have Josh Allen, maybe they always should be supposed to go to the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl and win the division. But I mentioned earlier, like, the expectation was lower for this team at the beginning of last year than it ever had been since Josh Allen became a superstar. It was transition year, and how good's my roster really, and the division looks good. By the time you got to that game, felt different, but you could look back on the end of it and say, well, I didn't even really think I was supposed to be here this season. So, there's that. Year before, it really was so many injuries that you let them get away with it a little bit. And the year before that is, well, Hamlin happened and the team was mentally fried and were they even wearing the right cleats? And just, there have been built-in excuses that to different degrees are reasonable 3 years in a row. 13 seconds, there's none of that. None of it. They had it. Sure, no Trey White, but your offense and Josh Allen were playing in another stratosphere. And everything was going for you. You were healthy enough. Again, you were missing Trey White, but it wasn't so different on the other side. They were missing Tyrann Mathieu, right? Honey Badger was out. So that one, there's no excuse. And there was anger, and as Joe just put it, I think a lot of the Fire McDermott crowd, it started there. And that is still the main source of it. The last 3 years, I do think it's more defendable. This year, what is that? Let's assume they don't get a pile of injuries, like when AJ Klein's playing linebacker for them in a playoff game. Let's just, for sake of conversation, they don't have a pile up of injuries. What is the excuse if you don't do it this year? And that's where I wonder, like, I don't think they would fire anybody, but what would the fallout look like if everything is set up for them and it happens again? And there isn't, you were mentally fried from the DeMar Hamlin game, and there isn't, man, you were down to your fifth string linebacker, and there isn't, well, we weren't really supposed to be that good this year anyway, transition year. This year is, you've got no holes, you're the Super Bowl favorite, your quarterback won the MVP, you've got, by some metrics, the second easiest schedule in football. What's stopping you? If you don't win it then, does someone in that building finally say, I've had enough? Intention starts there. That could be the coach and the GM. That could be the quarterback. They're really the only three individuals I ever wonder about for that. Like, at what point does one of those three say, I've just had enough? Something, not the owner even saying it, but one of those three saying, something's got to change here. And you know it's not the change is going to be the quarterback, so I don't know if tension like that could build. Eventually, when you lose and lose and lose and lose like that, and especially if it's to the same team, you know, Finger pointing can happen. I think they've actually, it's almost incredible that the Bills have not made the Super Bowl, fallen to the same team as many times as they have, and there really hasn't been any finger pointing. That's one of the greatest evidences of their culture. And we'll see how long that lasts. But the fact that you've lost to the Chiefs four times in the playoffs, and at least in the public, does anybody, you don't hear about finger pointing. Other than Tyler Dunn's piece from last year on Sean McDermott, there had been some details about, you know, a little of that happened maybe in the locker room after the 13-second game. I don't really know from who, though. That was probably more players. But that's it. Like, whispers of it happening after one of the most epic collapses ever. And that's kind of it. That's pretty incredible. By the way, speaking of their culture, the Chase Claypool post from over the weekend, he posted on Instagram about his journey over the last year and how he had like a torn ligament in his toe that really ended his season, and how good the Bills were to him, and even checking in on him after he had been released and had the injury. And, you know, I don't think he comes back here even for like a camp invite, but if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Chase Claypool had some really, really good things to say about the way the Bills do things. 803-0550. How important is this season for you and the one seed? I want to break down, again, the paths, the difference in the paths to the Super Bowl between what the Bills have had to go through and what the one seed has had to go through. What the Bills have had to go through is nothing short of a gauntlet in the postseason. Almost every year. Get to more of that when we come back. 803-0550, the phone number here on WGR.